The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Today I thought I'd talk about wise speech. Speech is a very integral part of our world, of our lives. So it's going to be a very rich practice to become aware of speech and to practice wise speech. And wise speech is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. And it might be nice to give just this little bit of context on where wise speech fits in the Buddha's teachings. And to backtrack fully, the Buddha talked about the Four Noble Truths, which is the truth of suffering, the truth of the origin of suffering, craving, the truth of the end of suffering, which is awakening, and then the fourth truth is the truth of the path leading to the end of suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And this Noble Eightfold Path consists of eight steps that lead to less suffering and ultimately to awakening. And one of those steps on that path is right speech or wise speech. I'll get to the translation of right and wise in a little bit. And the other steps are, I'll just name them real briefly just to get a sense of what's on the path. The first one is right view. Then you get the right intention. Then right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And those three, right speech, action, and livelihood, are all kind of interconnected in the sense that they all have to do with sila, or ethics, with living an ethical, wholesome life. So one of those steps is right speech, which is the topic of today. And since it's part of the Noble Eightfold Path, it's one of the ways that we can reduce our suffering, and it has this potential for awakening. But before we are there, we can already use speech to help us suffer less and to live a wholesome, more wholesome life. So it is important to cultivate. So let's look at the translation of right. In Pali, which is the language in which some of the Buddhist scriptures were written down, is the Pali word is samma, and it's often translated as right. But sometimes it's also translated differently, as for example wise or skillful. And Gil Fronsdal says about this translation, about the translation of samma, when right is used as the translation, it is useful to think of it as meaning appropriate, as when we speak of having the right tool for a particular task, appropriate tool. So it's not so much about right and wrong. How often we might associate right with that there's also a wrong, so also wrong speech. But it might be helpful to consider that it means more something like appropriate or wise or skillful. Because as long as our intention is to, live a wholesome life, we can't really do it wrong, even though we might transgress ethics or stuff like that. It's not wrong. It's just something that we can work on and get better at. So that's about samma, right or wise. And then speech is in Pali is vaccha. So right speech would be total and completely would be samma vaccha. So yeah, speech is a very common way to express ourselves. Lots of us, or many of us, will communicate throughout the day. Whether that's actually that we speak words, it can also be through email or text or social media posts. That kind of thing also counts, of course. And then also our inner speech counts. And the things that we tell ourselves, the stories that we tell ourselves, all the thoughts, the inner critic thoughts, the self-loathing thoughts, judgment thoughts, but also thoughts of self-love and compassion and kindness, and all the neutral little thoughts that we have that don't really seem to carry any flavor. And we might not be that used to paying attention to this dimension of speech, both the inner and the outer speech. But it is a very fertile ground for practice, for cultivating our ethical life, as well as for cultivating wholesomeness and abandoning unwholesomeness. And this wise or right speech is connected to wise view and intention, which are the first two of the Eightfold Path. Because wise view and intention are, if you really want to put it concisely, are about cultivating the wholesome and abandoning the unwholesome. So right speech is one of the ways in which we can actually implement right view and right intention. Our intention to live a wholesome life can come about through right speech. And so wise speech would be wholesome speech, and unwise speech would be unwholesome speech. And I'd like to explore this further through looking at a sutta about wise speech. And it is the sutta called Magga Vibhanga, Analysis of the Path, which has all the eight factors in it. And in that sutta, the Buddha describes wise speech as follows. And what, bhikkhus, is right speech? Here's translated as right. Abstinence from false speech. Abstinence from divisive speech. Abstinence from harsh speech. Abstinence from idle chatter. This is called right speech. End quote. So as you can tell, the terms are in terms of abstaining from something. And the four aspects are abstaining from false speech, from divisive speech, from harsh speech, and from idle chatter. So I thought I'd just go over those four aspects. And the first one is abstinence of false speech, which means speech that is not true, speech that is dishonest. So imagine someone lies to you. You know, we often really don't like that if someone lies, right? So we might want to consider not lying to others, not telling any untruths for as far as we can. And it is, of course, sometimes can be difficult to always tell the truth. And because sometimes it might be really awkward. For example, if a friend asks us like, do you like my new pants? And you don't like them, what are you going to say, right? So sometimes, you know, we could stay silent or not really respond. These are kind of, you know, fine lines that we are walking and like difficult to discern, like what should we do? Should we just say like, oh, I don't like your pants? Or should we say like, not really respond? And, you know, so we can investigate for ourselves. What does it feel like if we don't respond? What does it feel like if you say, oh, they're great, well, you don't mean it. Like, does it feel, can you feel that in your, you know, in your body, the incongruency of that, for example? And the interesting thing is that the Buddha did not always respond to people if he was asked a question. He would sometimes just stay silent. He would say nothing. So that's a response too. Yeah, abstaining from false speech is about speaking truthfully. So that's kind of the positive way to frame it, speak truthfully. And the interesting thing is that we sometimes can catch ourselves speaking these micro untruths, because often we might not have too much trouble to speak the truth. But a lot of us probably have these micro untruths that are happening, like these little bit of exaggerations that you sometimes do, that someone asks you to do something and you say, yeah, sure, I'll do that, no problem, while you actually feel like I don't really want to do it. Or sometimes saying something, abbreviating something in a way that it doesn't really fully tell the whole story, but you just don't want to like go into the whole story at this moment. That kind of tiny little things can happen sometimes. And we can become aware of those kind of ways that we twist the truth just a little bit and just start to investigate, what does that feel like if I do that? Maybe it doesn't really feel that good, actually. Maybe I can actually feel that in my body, that there's some incongruency going on. And then the second aspect of right speech, which is the abstinence of divisive speech. So that which causes disagreement or hostility between people, that which divides people. There's another sutta where the Buddha describes what he means by it. And he says, people giving up divisive speech don't repeat in one place what they heard in another, so as to divide people against each other. Instead, they reconcile those who are divided, supporting unity, delighting in harmony, loving harmony, speaking words that promote harmony. So, end quote. The Buddha recommends that instead of dividing people, we can use our words to bring harmony, which is a very beautiful intention to have. Bringing harmony can be a beautiful practice. And, you know, depending on our lives, we might have or have not many opportunities to bring harmony. But some of the ways that it might occur in our lives is, when a friend is going through a conflict with someone, we can offer some support that promotes harmony instead of further division. Or if we're in a conflict ourselves, we can look at ways, how can we bring harmony to this situation? Because if we start to look at the situation like bringing harmony, like in that framework, that might help us to actually bring harmony instead of just getting stuck in the division that's there. And one of the ways to bring harmony is also to look at ways that we can speak kindly about others and avoid speaking badly about others. And speaking badly about others can sometimes be really tempting, especially when we feel that the person is just, you know, just a bad person or just someone who is doing bad things. And so it can be a challenge not to speak harshly or not to speak badly about someone. Like, for example, try not to say anything bad about a politician that you don't like. For example, and that's going to be really difficult to not talk about that. So divisive speech can also occur in our inner speech, not only in our interactions. As our own inner speech can be divisive and not harmonious, like not harmony promoting, undermining our own goodness. And like maybe speech like, oh, I can't do anything right, or, you know, other ways that we might divide our own in our own psyche. So these are things that we can be aware of too. Huh? And we might be able to see like, oh, wait, I'm not speaking in a harmonious way to myself. Let's see, you know, how can I change that? Or how does that feel? Learn from it. Be aware of what is happening. And of course, we need mindfulness for all of this, like being mindful of what is happening before we even can start inclining towards more harmony. So, and then the third aspect of right speech, wise speech, is abstinence of harsh speech. And then the Buddha also has a description of harsh speech, which is the kind of words that are cruel, nasty, hurtful, offensive, bordering on anger, not leading to immersion. The last little bit about not leading to immersion is about that we won't be able to meditate well, get concentrated if we speak harsh words. And so when we speak harshly, then we could start to investigate, like, what does that feel like with all of those? And we can really feel that it is painful in our own hearts and mind when we speak harshly to someone else. Like when we are angry, or when even when cruelty comes up, when we want to harm others, then if we tune into our own body and mind, then we can actually feel that it hurts us. So we try to hurt maybe the other person with our anger or our cruelty, but it actually hurts our own being if we start to tune into that mechanism. In the Dhammapada, the Buddha says, "Don't speak harshly. They may speak harshly back. For aggressive speech is painful, and a rod may spring back on you." So, yeah, what I said, harsh speech can be painful. Just for the other person and for ourselves, for our own hearts. And the Buddha also points out that the others might speak harshly back. And I think we can all imagine that, you know, we can sometimes see someone being rude or harsh to a store clerk. And then you can see the store clerk tense up and start to, you know, they might try to stay polite, but they might also start to get worked up. Or if we speak harshly to a friend or a partner, often we get a harsh result back. And of course, also at this point, we have also inner harsh speech that is hurtful to ourselves, the inner critic, the inner judgment, self-loading, diminishing ourselves, etc. So it can be a really fertile ground to start watching those kind of patterns, noticing in which ways do we talk in a hurtful ways to ourselves. And becoming, like I tried to allude a little bit in the meditation, becoming aware of the painfulness of it. Because that gives us the information, that gives the heart and the mind the information to start processing it and learning from it. It's like Sayadaw Teshaniya says, when we start, you know, getting all these little data points, then the wisdom aspect of the mind will start to learn from it in the background. And what it's learning is how painful it is, and how unhelpful it is to have these kind of harsh thoughts. So it helps to gain this understanding. And at some point, the mind will let go. It's not that we will let go, but the mind lets go, and wisdom lets go. And, you know, especially with these kind of harsh patterns that we may have, it can be a long journey, but it's really worthwhile journey to start. Learning all these little details about harshness, about painfulness. And the Buddha says that people who give up harsh speech speak in a way that is mellow, pleasing to the ear, lovely, going to the heart, polite, likable, and agreeable to the people. That sounds beautiful, huh? Okay, imagine if everyone would speak like that. It would be great. And I would like to summarize this as kind speech, like kind words, speaking from the kindness in our hearts. If we speak from kindness, then I think our words will come out mellow and pleasing and loving, etc. And when defilements are present, so when greed, aversion, and delusion, or delusion are present, you know, it's harder to speak kindly. So keeping a check on those defilements through our mindfulness practice can be really useful. It's also really hard to speak kindly when things aren't going the way we want them to go. I sometimes have to think about these clips that you see sometimes on the news or on the internet. The airport, when people's flights are delayed, and how people are so angry with the person behind the desk, you just really see the defilements speaking there instead of the kindness that can also be there. We can also be kind towards, you know, people working at the airport. since they can't really help it, that the flight is delayed. So, yeah, unwholesome states might arise, anger, frustration, whatever it is. And then we might speak harshly instead of kindly. And what in those cases, all that we sometimes need to do is just abstain from speaking until the anger or the other defilement, whatever it is, has subsided. So that can be a really good way to work with that, to not speak until it subsides. Because we can't really prevent all the defilements from arising, of course. So the fourth aspect of right speech is abstinence of idle chatter. And the Buddha says, people who engage in idle chatter, their speech is untimely and is neither factual nor beneficial. It has nothing to do with the teaching or the training. Their words have no value and are untimely, unreasonable, rambling, and pointless. So the things I can think of are, for example, gossiping or talking to just talk. Like if there's this awkward kind of void, you know, we want to just fill the void when we're in a social setting. And then the Buddha also names that idle chatter is untimely speech. And I was wondering, maybe that's because it's never actually contributing to anything. So it's always going to be untimely. And the Buddha also points out that it has no value. It's pointless. But, you know, I do recognize that it can be really tempting to engage in this idle chatter, in some gossiping or trying to fill this void I was talking about. And sometimes it can even be hard to tell the difference between small talk and filling a void, because we are social beings. So some small talk can be useful and beneficial in our lives, of course. So it's important to discern, when is it that we talk from this awkwardness, and when is it useful to have some small talk? Like when we have small talk with a new colleague to welcome them and to get to know them and comfort them into their new environment, might be very wholesome. And while if we see this colleague at the coffee machine that always wants to gossip about other people in the office, then we might not want to, you know, start a conversation with this person because we feel like, yeah, that's not going to be wholesome. And then, of course, we have abundant inner idle chatter. When our thoughts just go round and round, just blah, blah, blah in the mind, just these stories over and over again, and these planning sessions that we have, like we're planning the same thing 100,000 times and etc. So we can also be really aware of those. And we can often, if we become aware of it, we can stop ourselves in our tracks. If we see those thoughts go over and over and over again, we can just, oh, I recognize it now, and then it just stops. We can just stop ourselves in our tracks. We don't have to even finish that thought because it's not really anything interesting or any doesn't have any point to it. And in Pali, there's a word for this idle chatter that can happen both internally and externally, and it's called sampapalapa, which I think is a great word because it sounds like this blah, 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 sampapalapa. And then the Buddha says that people who give up idle chatter, their words are timely, true, and meaningful, in line with the teaching and training. They say things at the right time, which are valuable, reasonable, succinct, and beneficial. Now that gives us an idea of the positive way to frame the abstinence of idle chatter. And saying things that are timely and valuable and reasonable, succinct and beneficial, and true and meaningful, and in line with the teaching and the training. So, yeah, that's a lot, I think. But it's interesting, and it's a beautiful description of how we can speak sometimes. So refraining from this idle chatter can help us to, you know, have speech that is more valuable and meaningful for those around us, and for our inner speech as well. And like what I said, we can sometimes stop ourselves in our tracks when this idle chatter is going on. inside, but we can even do that when it's happening, when we notice it, when we're doing it towards someone else. And just maybe we want to finish at least our sentence, kind of, you know, see where the appropriate point is that we can stop our chatter. But at some point when the appropriate time has come, we can actually stop what we're saying and not continue all our stories and stuff that we were talking about. So the four aspects of right speech, to recap, are the abstinence from false speech, abstinence from divisive speech, abstinence from harsh speech, and abstinence from idle chatter. And then the positive way to frame this would be speech that is truthful, speech that brings harmony, speech that is kind, and speech that is timely and beneficial. And it looks very much, if you frame it like that, as this other list that is often referred to in regards to right speech. And there's another sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya, where the Buddha lists five things that practitioners should establish in themselves. And these five things are, he points them to, you know, points towards monks in this sutta. And it's not kind of the quote-unquote official list that the Buddha calls right speech, but this one is often being referred to, so I want to just name this list. And so it's five things. It says, I will speak at the right time, not at the wrong time. I will speak truthfully, not falsely. I will speak gently, not harshly. I will speak beneficially, not harmfully. I will speak lovingly, not from secret hate. So this is about timely, truthful, gentle, beneficial, and kind. So this is a, you know, nice little list that we can also use for our daily life practice. It's not even, not always as easy to keep all of those five aspects in our minds at the same time when we are speaking to someone. It's already, you know, often a challenge to stay mindful of our speech in general when we're speaking. So, you know, if we pick out one or two of them, that might already be useful and beneficial. And for example, is your speech timely? Is it actually the right time to say this? Sometimes it may not be. Is our speech truthful? And sometimes we can catch ourselves in tiny lies, like I mentioned before, or even big lies. And we can reflect, really, what I want. Do I really want to say this? Is it really helpful or is it painful? Is our speech gentle? Not coarse or rough. Is it mild and tender? And gentleness seems to be kind of related to kindness, which is the last one on this little list. And then, is our speech beneficial? Who is it actually benefiting? Is it benefiting us or others, or both ourselves and others? Does it contribute to harmony, like we were talking before? And then the last one, is our speech kind or loving? Yeah, like I said, are we speaking from anger or other defilements? And then our speech might not be so kind. So, yeah, those are all reflections that we can use. I'm reflecting, is it timely, truthful, gentle, beneficial, and kind? And important always to name in the context of right speech is that there can be these situations that we need to stand up for ourselves. And, you know, this teaching about right speech is not about being a softie and letting people just walk all over us. Yeah, because sometimes our words do need to be firm and we need to set boundaries. And that's really important because we also need to take care of our own hearts and minds or even bodies sometimes. So, yeah, that's important. And the thing is that we could see if we can do this from a compassionate and kind heart with this wholesome intention that our speech is serving this greater good. And setting our boundaries is a greater good, I would think. when we analyze all of this information on right speech, then there is basically this tendency of wholesome versus unwholesome. Is our speech wholesome or is it unwholesome? Is it speech that contributes to kindness and timeliness, etc., that we were talking about? Or is it unwholesome and the harshness, the unbeneficialness, the untimeliness, the untruthfulness, etc.? So that's a really easy way to, you know, remember this teaching. Is my speech contributing to wholesomeness or unwholesomeness? Is it leading in the direction of suffering or away from suffering towards happiness? Is it harming anyone? Is it harming myself or others? So, you know, that could be a really easy way of working with right speech without having to remember a whole bunch of lists. And the unwholesomeness, you know, is about the defilements, and the wholesomeness is about the kindness and compassion and the generosity and wisdom, for example. We can implement this by being aware while we're speaking. What is happening? What is our motivation? Is our speech wholesome or unwholesome? And we'll need some mindfulness for that. We'll need this intention to pay attention to speech. And if we're not used to being aware of speaking while we're speaking, that can be a learning curve. Just to throw that out there, that you're not discouraged if you start trying to do this, because it can take some time and a repeated intention of wanting to be aware while you're speaking to start this process. Just try it out if you feel inclined to, and see what happens if you're speaking, what happens internally. And of course, we need part of our attention on the other person if we are in contact with someone else, and part of the intention internally. So it's kind of like Sayadaw Otejaniya says, it's 50-50 mindfulness. 50% is on ourselves and 50% is with the other person. So we can divide our mindfulness in a way, and not literally, it's probably going back and forth, but just to help our minds to see how we can do this. And then I'll end with a quote from the Buddha, very short one, from a different sutta again. Speech should be let out when it's good, but not when it's bad. That's the short advice from the Buddha.